Acts 13, verses 42 to 52. Acts 13, 42 to 52. And I know that you were seated already in that last song, but if you don't mind standing as we read God's word, we'll read verses 42 to 52. Every other verse, I'll start us on verse 42, then join with me on every other verse. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. And we can all read verse 52. And the disciples were filled with the joy and with the Holy Ghost. We find our title today from the end of verse 49, where the Bible says that the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. I'd like to take a few minutes and speak to you on that theme, publishing the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the giving and the tithes. Thank you for possibly even some names that have been sent in to be praying for. Thank you for the fact that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we pray even now that through this text, you would stir the heart of an unbeliever today who is religious but lost, that they today would humble themselves and be saved. That one who is getting hard, they've heard the truth over and over and over, and really it's becoming almost hardened. The heart is becoming hardened. Your hammer, the word of God, would break the heart today. Father, I also pray that we who know you as Savior would recognize the great privilege and great responsibility to publish the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. Over and over, we've seen in this series on the book of Acts, from Philip to Peter and now to Paul, that when they would preach the word of God, they preached Jesus Christ. And just to say they preached the word of God, sometimes we can say that and it can be like, well, what else would they preach? And yet I would say that many times in today's church, if we're not careful, we pray that it would never come to that at Anchor Baptist Church, that we would give a little bit of the Word of God and then a lot of our own ways. And we would get a little bit of the Word of God and then a lot of what we would want to say. We know that God's Word is what changes lives. We know that no man's Word can ever change a life. But repeatedly in the book of Acts, as the church has been empowered at Pentecost and it's moved out of Jerusalem, and as it's seen persecution, and as it spread to Antioch and onward, we've seen every time that the word of God was preached, there are a couple of things that happened. Many got saved and many got mad. It's going to happen. The word of God isn't going to calm everyone. The word of God is going to stir some people to aggressive persecution or going to have animosity toward what it says. And so this is again what we see over and over again. And now here we find Paul, who was reached in this early time. Paul, who on the road to Damascus was reached, and we won't re-go over that. But here's something by way of a quote to begin with. Paul follows the method of going first to the synagogue. Jews had been scattered all over the Roman Empire, and what would happen is when they came into a city, they would establish a synagogue where they had settled. The synagogue was of the utmost importance for the Jew because it was a place where they would go and where they would worship God. And when visitors would come from Jerusalem, remember, Jerusalem was very important. Jerusalem was the hub. Jerusalem was like the center of it all. And when someone came from Jerusalem to their city, they would want to hear, okay, what's going on in Jerusalem? What's going on back there? Tell us about it. And so they would invite this visitor to come into the respective place of worship and go ahead and give an update. Kind of like when we have someone who comes from a mission field and they come to Vancouver and we want to hear what's happening, and a little bit different, but in the same way. We want to know what's happening in Sagada. We want to know what's happening in Manila. We want to know what's happening in Cebu. We want to know what's happening in Sydney or in all over the world. We want to know what's happening in your mission field. Tell us about it. So they would have opportunities to speak. Well, this is exactly what happened to Paul in Acts chapter number 13. He is given an opportunity to preach. And in fact, this is the very first recorded sermon that we have of the Apostle Paul preaching in a synagogue. They are in the town of Antioch, Pisidia. Now, this is not the same as Antioch, Syria. There was already a church established in Antioch, Syria. So they're in Antioch, Pisidia. And this was a hub. This particular city was a hub for trade. It had a large Jewish population. And so as we look at this sermon of the Apostle Paul, this is what I want you to kind of, by way of illustration, to kind of bring this message in. And we're going to move through it probably quickly today, but don't stay with me, all right? Have you ever been to a pond that was completely still? Maybe it was early in the morning. You could hear the bullfrogs. Have you ever heard a bullfrog? I mean, some of you are saying, yeah, my husband was just singing and I heard one. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. That's not nice, is it? Sorry, and I was about to say somebody's name, but I won't do that. Anyway, you've heard a bullfrog. You've heard the birds, maybe. You've heard crickets, maybe. You've heard lots of noises, and you've been out there early in the morning or even late at night, but it's dark, you can't see. But in the morning when the sun is just coming up or the daybreak is just happening and there's the pond and maybe there's the fog above the pond. But it's very still, very still. Imagine, if you would, that you were to go over and you were to find a stick or you were to find a large rock and you were to go over and you were to pick that thing up, and you know that's what all boys do. They throw rocks in the water, and girls too, okay? And you take that rock and it's like a sheet of glass. It's clear, it's still. You take that rock. And you're just, okay, where can I throw this at? You know? And you throw that rock into the water, and what happens? It disturbs it, doesn't it? There's a big splash, but that's not the only thing that happens. There's the ripples of the waves. And one rock, it doesn't even have to be a big one, but you get a bigger one, it's going to last a lot longer. One rock thrown into a body of water disturbs it for quite a bit. Well, that's what happens with the Apostle Paul coming into this synagogue. His preaching was that rock. His preaching was that disturbance to the religious crowd, to the elites of the day. His authoritative preaching from the Word of God was like that rock being thrown into that calm pond. Religious crowd is there, and might say very deeply religious crowd. Possibly, if they had followed the order, and I'm sure they would have, they've already read from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. This would be done regularly. Hold your place in Acts, and let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. The Shema would have already been read. Again, not all of what they did was necessarily wrong. It wasn't wrong at all, but there was definitely a large group of them there that were more concerned with tradition than truth. And so Deuteronomy 6:4, the Bible says, here it is, this would be read every time. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And they would have read the Shema, and they would have had prayer time together, and they would have read, someone would have come and read passages from the law, and more than likely as well, they would have had a reading from one of the prophets of old. And now enter Paul. So all of the religious pomp and circumstance, I guess you could say, had taken place. And now comes Paul. Now comes Paul with a message that they least expected it. Now comes Paul, much like Stephen, if you remember Stephen's preaching before the Sanhedrin. What did he use against the Sanhedrin? Do you remember? He used their own history. This is what you did, and this is what you did. That's exactly what Paul does. And after this history lesson, Paul gives them a great emphasis, and we don't have time. We kind of read the end of the story. But look back in Acts chapter number 13, if you would. In verse 14, we see, "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." And there's everything I just talked about, okay? Right from God's word, and you can take note of those. And then look at verse 16. "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, 'Men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience.'" What's he saying? Listen up. Listen up. I've got something to say. And he gives them a history lesson. Verse 17, he talks about once again how they were delivered from the land of Egypt. In verse 18, he talks about how they went into the wilderness for 40 years. And on and on and on it goes. And we come to verse 23. "Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a" what? Savior. Who did Jesus Christ's lineage come from? Came from David. And all these law people and these Jews that were in the synagogue, David was revered. David was the second king and probably the greatest king. And so here is Paul saying, from David's seed came a Savior, Jesus. Verse 23. He talks about his ministry. He goes on. Verse number 28, "And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain." Again, this is all part of his sermon. Think of it now. This is a sermon against the Jews that are there. Whether they liked it or not, they were getting it. And we found out that not everyone liked it. Verse 29, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree." He's talking about Jesus. Verse 30, might want to mark that one. "But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen of many days," verse 31, and verse 32, "And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children." Everything that God had prophesied in the prophet Isaiah and other prophets in the Old Testament and moving forward, God fulfilled them. He fulfilled them for our fathers. He fulfilled them for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 33, "Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." He goes on and on. And then we come to our text today. We come to our text today in verse 42. This is at the end of the sermon. So, number one in the outline, the Word of God preached. The Word of God preached. Notice what it says. After all of that, the Gentiles that were there said, "We want more. We want more of the Word of God." Notice, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." Hey, we want to hear more of this, Paul. Paul, can you come back next Saturday? Paul, can you be here? We'll be here next week. You know what? That is something that we as God's people need to make sure that we are having enough of. One of the things that while we love the internet and we can do this, praise God for it, we need to make sure that we get as much of the preaching of this book as we possibly can. Whether we're the one preaching it or whether we're the one hearing it, we need the proclamation of the Word of God. This is very clear that they said to him, besought. What does the word besought mean? It means a strong desire. A strong desire. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I will echo Pastor Nathan's sentiment that we're so thankful for those of you that just continue to log on. And we've some of us that have, as well, myself, been at home for an extended period of time and logging on for church and so forth. It can become a bit of a challenge. And yet, once again, here we see that these early believers, these Gentiles early on said, Paul, we want more, we want more. Oh, that we would have a teenager. Oh, that we would have children. Oh, that we would have parents today. Oh, that we would have grandparents to say, we want more of the Word of God. We want more of the book. We want more of it. We need more of it. Just like babes, right? What do babes desire? The sincere milk of the Word. You're at 1 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. They besought Paul. They said, Paul, we want more. I wonder today, do you look forward to getting into your Bible? Do you look forward to getting your Bible into you? Do you look forward to hearing the preaching? Hey, you know, we talked about that revival conference. And again, just hear me out. When you hear about a revival conference online, possibly it's very easy to say, you know, I hear enough online. And I want you to listen. I know you're listening. I want you to listen carefully. There might be one message in that revival conference that God has for you. And maybe you can't watch all of them, but you'll put a note, you'll plan some time that we're going to watch this one, or we're going to watch that one, or we're going to be involved here. I'm just saying, we need the Word of God. We need a desire for the Word of God. We need to, like these Gentiles, have a strong desire for the Word of God. The people wanted more of what Paul was giving them. A maturing Christian wants more of God's Word. If you're growing, you're going to need more of God's Word, right? When you grow, you've got to have more food. Man, you know what? I guarantee if some of you saw some of the kids of Anchor Baptist Church that you haven't seen in 6 to 9 months or even longer, I don't think any of them are the same size they were a year ago. Right? Right, because they've been eating. Eating and eating, and what do they do when they eat? They grow. A maturing Christian is someone who wants and must have the Word of God. A Christian who is maturing takes time to read and study and meditate and hear it. For the preaching, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. May it never become that way for us that we endure time in the Word of God. No, it should be a delight to be in the Word of God. It should be a longing to be in the Word of God. And every chance we get, may we have a strong desire. The people were so desirous of them that when they left the synagogue, look what it says in verse 43, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Keep talking. Keep speaking. Keep challenging us. God's Word was bringing a change. And so the next Sabbath, amazing what happened. I've always been amazed by this verse. Haven't you that have read this verse? Maybe it's the first time you've ever read it. It's the most amazing verse to me of what would happen after 1 week of preaching. Look what happens in verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city. Earlier this morning, we prayed together, and we prayed for Burnaby. Now, I know you may not live in Burnaby, but Anchor Baptist Church is located in Burnaby. We've been located all over the place, but we're located in Burnaby. That's our primary location. If you're visiting with us today, we're just outside of the great city of Vancouver, the third largest city in Canada, but we're in Burnaby, and we prayed for Burnaby. It was 1997, back when I looked a little bit younger. My wife looked exactly the same. Amen. And Caleb was about this long, okay? He's not that long anymore. He's grown a little bit. And we came here for the very first time, and God burdened our heart. We're nobody, but God burdened our heart for Burnaby. That was 24 years ago. 24 years ago this past January, first time we'd ever come to British Columbia. And it was Burnaby, Burnaby, Burnaby. We knew that God wanted us to come to Burnaby. I'm so thankful that God leads us to exactly where He wants us to be at just the right time. And that's exactly what's happening. But in Burnaby, I'm told there are some 200,000 people plus now, maybe approaching 250,000. And here it says that in Antioch, Pisidia, almost the entire city came the next meeting. Where did they stand? Where did they put them? I have no idea. But the Bible says, why were they coming? Because they wanted to hear the word of God. Would you please beg God to stir up Burnaby for Jesus Christ? Those John and Romans are coming to Burnaby and all of British Columbia. Would you join with me in praying that a mighty revival would sweep through British Columbia this year? Why? The word of God. The word of God, just John and Romans. I know it's not the whole Bible, but the word of God coming into a home of a depressed one or a discouraged one or someone that's contemplating taking their own life or someone that's just had enough and they don't know what to do. The word of God can bring them out of that. The word of God can bring hope to their life. The word of God is what's brought hope to your life. And we see here the word of God preached, the word of God delivered is what we need to have revival in British Columbia. It is possible to have revival today if we emphasize the word of God. It only took a week. You believe God can turn a city upside down in a week? Yes, he can. It's not just for Paul and Pisidia. It could be for Anchor Baptist in Burnaby. Pray for Metro Baptist as they strive to reach souls here in Burnaby and all the other gospel preaching outlets all over the Lower Mainland. We need revival in our province. It's going to come by the word of God. The word of God preached. Number two. Now, we say we need revival and it comes by the word of God, but not everybody thinks we need revival. There is an enemy, isn't there? Number two, the preachers are persecuted. Look at verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken. They contradicted it. They blasphemed it. They told lies about it. Who is this Paul? We could barely fill up a synagogue on Saturday, and he's not only filled up the synagogue in 1 week, he's got almost everybody in town coming to this place. Verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Very clear that not everyone was happy about the events taking place in Antioch. Not everyone was excited about the crowds coming. Not everyone was excited about the message being preached. Not everyone was excited about the boulder that was thrown into their pond. For you see, the word of God brings great conviction, doesn't it? The word of God lets us know where we're not supposed to be. The word of God lets us know where we are supposed to be. And sometimes when we hear the word of God, while we may not do like the Jews did, we might be guilty as well of just pushing that to the side and saying, well, that's not for me. Well, that's not for me. But we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's all good for you. It's all good for me. And don't get caught up into this lie of the devil that you are where you need to be and I am where I need to be in every area and walk of my life. No, we need to grow in grace. We need to mature. And it comes through the word of God. But not just hearing the word of God. But faith cometh by hearing, yes. But not just hearing the word of God, but then applying the word of God. I submit to you that simply just to listen to preaching and listen to the scripture and not apply it, while we may not be persecuting it, we're not advancing it. How many Christians are never advancing the word of God? They've listened to preaching for 30 years but never told anybody about Jesus Christ and how he changed their life. Does that describe you? If it does, I'm not saying it to offend you. I'm saying it to challenge you. And if you've been saved that long and never told anybody about Christ, there's a problem. There's a problem. And you need to let God fix the problem. I love what it says here, that they went with boldness. Verse 46, they waxed bold. Their boldness came up. It was necessary. Look at that word. Isn't that a great word? They said, we weren't concerned about the Jews and how they might get mad. We weren't concerned about the ripple effect because it was necessary. It was needful for me. We remember reading that somewhere else. It was necessary that the word of God should have been spoken to you. The Jews were jealous of all the attention that these men were receiving. Unfortunately, the Jews were too prejudiced over the Gentiles coming to Christ. And I pray that we would never get to that place in our life, that we would maybe not be prejudiced over another group of people. But think about this. Follow me now. You know, we've got to be careful that we see that something is happening in another church, but it's not happening in our church. And we might think, oh, well, what's that all about? And we begin to be critical. And no, we need to rejoice with the church that's seeing a mighty movement of God. And we need to pray for the other Bible preaching churches, gospel preaching church. Let's not be like one of these Jews, where we're persecuting, in a sense, by trying to tear down and not rejoice and try to pick and find something while everyone doesn't dot the preferences and all of this exactly the same. And that's not what this message is about. Look, we need the Word of God to advance, and we need to advance purely. And when something mighty happens, we need to rejoice in the things of the Lord. That's not what the Jews did. They took every opportunity to discount it. Every step possible, instigating persecution. And so we're praying that these Bibles would stir up Barnabas, but they will stir up the devil too. We're praying that these John and Romans would stir up British Columbia. But remember, when that rock is thrown into the pond and the ripple effect, it touches so much and so many. The word of God preached. The word of the preachers persecuted. We see number three, the word of God received. The word of God received. And we kind of touched on this already. Look at verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, and I want to just stop right here and pause and say that what I'm about to read is what you're to be and I'm to be. The Lord told them, I have set thee to be a what? A light. A light. That's what I'm to be. That's what you're to be. Oh, this world is all full of this and that and the other thing, but how's your light? How's your light when it's so dark? One light shines bright in a bunch of darkness, doesn't it? We need some more light. Where's the light going to be found? I'll tell you where the light's going to be found. The light's going to be found in you and in me, shining our light, letting God's glory flow through us to this world in which we live. We're commanded to be light. Why? Look at the end. That thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Here we go, trying to go off. Let's see here. I'm actually looking for the passage I gave the men this morning. Oh, I was right? Okay. Okay, I was reading it from a different Bible, and it wasn't on the same page as my Schofield here. Thank you. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, verse 1, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child. Verse 4, but ye brethren, this is what helped us this morning. I hope it helps you this afternoon right now. But ye brethren are not in darkness. If you're a Christian today, you're not in darkness. You're in the light. That means that as we watch things transpire, as it says there, it doesn't overtake us. Because why? We're in the light. We know things are coming that precede the coming of Christ. And we know that there is coming a day when he will come to the clouds and we will meet him in the air after the dead in Christ, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Notice verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Look at, we are not of the night nor of the darkness. And here it is, verse 6. Mark it, please. Mark it. Let it mark you. Therefore, let us not sleep. I really connect this statement. It wasn't really in my notes for today. The Lord gave me this morning, but we're putting it in here this afternoon. I connect this statement to what Paul said. Paul said, we were commanded to be a light. We cannot sleep. Today, we are commanded to be light. Please, church family, please, dear Christians who are watching today, don't be put to sleep by the enemy. We are the light. We are the only hope. And it's not us, but it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's our witness and our testimony of what Christ has done in and through us that's going to take people from darkness to light. And there are still people that are searching for truth. There are still people that are coming to Christ. Get in on it. Don't fall asleep. It says here in 1 Thessalonians, let us therefore not sleep as do others, but let us watch. There are people that want the truth. Notice what happened when the truth was given. Oh, the Gentiles, they couldn't have been happier. Look at verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. I submit to you today, there are people in your life that when they hear the word of God, when they hear the truth of the word of God, whether it takes one time or five times or 10 times, there are people that when they hear the word of God, they will be glad. Look what it says. And they glorified the word of the Lord. You notice they did not glorify the word of Paul and Barnabas, but they glorified the word of the Lord. That's exactly what we're to do every day of our life. We're to glorify the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of God and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. I believe the time of this goes very well with what's about to happen in British Columbia. The word of God is about to be published, in a sense, delivered to our entire province. We've been praying for these John and Romans that are coming. Over $400,000 was given. So over, I believe it's 1 million, I think. 1 million John and Romans are coming to British Columbia. Would you join with me as we continue to pray that as the Word of God is published, that there would be many people who would come to Christ. There would be many people who would reach out to Very Precious Seed Canada. What's this all about? I need help. I need hope. I have no answer. I have no hope. I need some light. They may not say it like that, but we know exactly what it is they need. Verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy. This is Paul and Barnabas, and with the Holy Ghost. They left Antioch, Pisidia, but they didn't leave behind no one to continue on. Many believed. They were escorted out. Why? Okay, yeah, we don't want any more of that. Our pond is still rippling. You need to get out of here. You know what? That might happen. It's happened in a small way several times in the last 20 years. Maybe not to this degree. But don't focus on being let out of Antioch, Pisidia. They didn't focus on that. They focused on what it was that they left behind. And they left behind the truth, and they left behind the proclamation that Jesus is alive, and they left behind that he was the Savior. And so they left with joy and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Folks, I'm telling you today, that's exactly what we need, is a revival amongst God's people, that we don't focus on the negative. We focus on what it is God allows us to do and the seeds that he allows us to sow, and let God bring the increase. By the way, he will. There's a work to be done. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. almost 20 years now. Almost 20 years we've been publishing the Word of God throughout Burnaby. We must continue on. But it first happens within our own homes. It happens in my life. For me in the morning, opening up God's Word every day. Just get in that habit. We have enough habits that we should stop doing. And let this become one that's beneficial. But then, it isn't just to take it in and take it in and take it in, because we know that a sponge that is full of water is of no use. You got to wring it out so you can reuse it. I believe God puts all that into you and all that into me so that we can go into our work and go into our school and go into our wherever we're headed, and so we can wring it out. Teach others also. So let's together, with the power of God, publish the Word of God and see what God will do with it. And He will do something with it. He honors His name.